Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. And keep in mind while we read the text, the topic, healed on the Sabbath. Healed on the Sabbath. Let's read. John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, this is a great passage of Scripture here because it shows us certain things, kind of clears up a little confusion about some things, but it shows the legalism that was in the Pharisees' minds that would cause them to be so legalistic about their own method of doing things that when Jesus Christ, God Almighty, manifest in the flesh, actually performed such a great miracle in this man's life, they couldn't rejoice. All they wanted to do was find a way to destroy Jesus Christ because he hadn't kept their interpretation of the law. Now let's comment on a few things here and then we'll deal with the major problem in this text. In verse 7, the impotent man answered the Lord Jesus Christ and said this, Sir, I have no man. You know something? That's a very profound statement, and really, that's a text right there in itself that could be used to preach an entire sermon on salvation. You see, this guy had a need. He was impotent. The way these impotent folk were described, withered, halt, blind, that's a good description of lost people and the various problems that lost people have with understanding their need of salvation and with understanding the crippling effects of sin. This man had been in that case for 38 years. There was no remedy. No physician could help him. No religion could help him. No Pharisee keeping the Sabbath could help him. This man needed a miracle, and the miracle he needed was in the form of something delivered to him especially by a man. He said, I have no man. Now, the man that he was looking for was a man that would lower him into the pool once the angel troubled the water. But he couldn't get there fast enough. He couldn't get there on his own. And that's true of the problem that sinners have with their problems in salvation. They can't get to the pool fast enough. Why? Because they're impotent. Nobody can get to heaven on his own. You see all the great, stuff going on in the context here? Then this man said, Sir, I have no man. That is the issue of salvation. I have no man. That's the issue of salvation. Everybody needs a man, and the only man they can get that's going to help them is the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You see that? You need a man. See? The Bible says, But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The Bible says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation is in a man. So his trouble was, I have no man. Well, there was the man, Jesus Christ. And in verse 8, take a note of something else. In verse 8, Jesus Christ did not wait for the man to demonstrate enough faith to be healed. Jesus Christ did not wait for the man to pray and ask for him to heal him. Jesus Christ did not wait for oil and did not wait to lay his hands upon the man. Jesus just looked at him and said to him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now that's a very interesting thing. Why? Because we need to understand that if you can get to God, and if God so desires, he can take care of the problem just like Jesus Christ did right there that day. And I'll only point that out to tell you that something that you may have heard, not everybody has heard this, but something that you may have heard is that it requires the laying on of hands and the oil and a special prayer and other kinds of things like that in order to get the healing done. And I just want you to see that Jesus Christ, apart from any of those things, took care of the problem right there, Johnny on the spot. And the famous verse, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, would apply to this particular healing transaction just like it would to anything else. And I only say that so that you don't get into a situation where you believe that everything that involved healing was done a particular way. Just don't want you to be deceived. I want you to be healed if you've got a problem. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong about that at all. But don't be deceived into believing that if it hasn't happened, that it is necessarily the consequence of your insufficient faith. Sometimes that thing is being held over people's heads in order to make up for the fact that the one who professed to have the gift of healing bombed out in your case. And his excuse is, it was your fault, not his. I really want you to have some comfort in this verse of Scripture right here. If Jesus wanted to, he would. Okay, verse 14, something else to notice in the text. After Jesus Christ found this man in the temple, and that's a good place for him to wind up. I like that. As a matter of fact, I ought to make a comment about that. You see, as soon as this guy could get up and walk, you know where he went? He went to church. Okay, so there wasn't a church back there. There was a temple. There are a lot of folks that have begged God for a healing, and they got it. There are a lot of folks who have begged God for Jesus Christ and got saved, and they got it. And you know what? They're not in church today. You know where this guy went in? As soon as he could get up and walk, he went into the temple. You know what you ought to do? You ought to go to church. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. I understand. The people that were hanging around in the temple were the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were the one that wanted to kill Jesus Christ. The chief priests are the ones that sent him up to Pilate to have him crucified. Yeah, there were problems in the temple, but the people still went, and even after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter and John were on their way up to the temple at the time of prayer. Well, that's no excuse. The Holy Spirit will guide you to the right church. Just go. Your problem is, I'd rather play golf today, or go fishing today, or mow the lawn today, or sleep in today, or whatever excuse you've got. Work today, whatever it is, so you don't have to go. Let me tell you something. When this guy could go, he went. You got it? I remember a fellow coming to the office, begged God to heal him through a surgery, and he got the healing he wanted. And you know what? He was going to church faithfully until he went through the surgery and got healed up, and then he quit going. You know where he started spending his Sundays? In the bar room. Just better make a comment on that. All right, and then he says, sin no more. He said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. That's verse 14. That would indicate or imply then that his illness was tied to his sin. And oftentimes when Jesus Christ dealt with folks, he would tell them to go and sin no more. There was a woman taken in the act of adultery, and some folks were getting ready to stone her. And when Jesus wrote in the sand, they left the room. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, nobody's sinless. We understand that. But in this particular case, there was something that was going on in the case of the adulterous woman. Obviously, don't do that again. In the case of this man, there was something 38 years ago that he had done that led to the consequence of his infirmity. And a lot of sin is that way. Look in Numbers chapter 5 as an example. Here's a woman whose husband becomes jealous because he suspects that she's stepped out on him. And so he doesn't have the evidence. But he suspects there's something wrong, so he has a jealousy offering. And it's a trial of jealousy to see whether or not his suspicions are correct. And if his suspicions are correct, when this woman drinks the potion that the priest makes up in verse 27, it says, and when he hath made her to drink the water, then it shall come to pass that if she be defiled, I mean if the guy was right, and have done trespass against her husband, that the water that causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter, and watch it, she's going to suffer a physical problem. Her belly shall swell, and her thigh shall rot, and the woman shall be a curse among her people. So there is a physical evidence of the consequence of her sin. The belly swells and the thigh rots. Such is the case of this fella. Something went wrong, and it was tied to something he did in the way of a sin. And so the Lord said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So whatever it was that got him into trouble, the Lord let him off the hook and showed him that his particular illness was tied to sin. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If a man soweth to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. And sometimes the reaping starts on this side of eternity, in the flesh. So, the comments that we've seen then so far are these impotent folk that are around here are a lot like lost people, and what they need is a man. And salvation is in a man, the man Jesus Christ. This fellow, when he got healed, is healed just because Christ decided to do it, and really didn't have anything to do with oil, or laying on of hands, or request, or his faith, or anything. Showing that Jesus is certainly capable of doing that. The guy winds up in the temple, which is where you ought to be in church when you get straightened out with God. And he's to sin no more. And the areas of sin in your life that drove you away from Jesus Christ are the areas of sin in your life that you ought to strive hardest to quit. Pretty good lesson so far, wouldn't you say? Well, those are just some introductory comments because the text is long and those things are very important to the text. But the trouble with this whole little episode is here that Jesus Christ got caught by the Pharisees in that he did this on the Sabbath. Ooh, oh no, whoa, Jesus Christ I thought was never a sinner, and oh no, he did something on the Sabbath and caught the ire of the Pharisees. You know what, the Pharisees hated him anyway. This was just an excuse. Let's go look through the various texts in the Bible to see about this healing on the Sabbath day, and then you'll get the whole picture. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and look at verse 1. Actually, all the way to verse 15 in Matthew chapter 12 is a subject matter for this text. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and begun to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was anhungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and to eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one then greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Well, we'll stop right there for a second and get what we can out of this text. Jesus Christ compares himself in eating the corn in the field on the Sabbath day to David, who was the great king of Israel, upon whose throne Jesus Christ will sit and rule the world during his thousand-year millennial reign, and he compares himself to the priests. Now, there's a reason for that. As a matter of fact, the priests perform this sacrifice that Jesus Christ is talking about every Sabbath day. Notice this in Numbers chapter 28 as one place. There's a lot of other places you can find it, but Numbers chapter 28, verses 9 through 10, on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and two-tenth deals of flour for a meat offering mingled with oil and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. And the priest is to offer that thing. So, this offering of the priest every Sabbath day breaks the law of the Sabbath. Because several things. Number one, on the Sabbath day, they're not to kindle a fire. Well, he'd have to kindle a fire in order to burn that sacrifice. And they were not to work. And he's working in order to offer that sacrifice. The episode with David the king is when he is running from Saul, and he ends up there with the priests at Nob, and gets Goliath's sword, and he's hungry, and those guys that are with him are hungry, and they eat the showbread. Now, neither of those things is lawful to do. David broke the law in order to eat the showbread, and this particular thing that he's being accused of had to do with eating, and the priests break the law, the Sabbath, in order to offer the sacrifice. Jesus Christ then compared himself to a king and to a priest. This is very interesting. The reason being, and if these men had just taken some time to think about it, the cross reference is Psalm 110, verse 1. This is a psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Talking about a king here, just like David. The people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath, and so forth and so on. So here in David's psalm, there's mention of a king and there's mention of a priest, and the reference is to Jesus Christ. Look in Matthew chapter 22, and Jesus Christ is dealing with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herodians and the lawyer. And in Matthew chapter 22, when they've exhausted their questions, verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, the son of David. So Jesus likens himself to David here then. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? He's making a reference to himself, and that should clarify once and for all for the Pharisees that in fact Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath, and God Almighty manifest in the flesh, and the King of the Jews, and the High Priest. But they didn't buy it. They just accused him. Going on in Matthew chapter 12, when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? He said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it is lawful to do well, wherefore, and he tells him, wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Verse 14, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ answered their question, it is lawful. And proof, you do the same thing for one of your sheep when it's in a pit on the Sabbath day. They didn't like the answer, so they decided, we'll just kill him. There's those good law-abiding Pharisees. Law-abiding legalistic Pharisees. They put the law up above God Almighty, the author of the law. They put the Sabbath up above God Almighty, the Lord of the Sabbath of the law. Mark chapter 2, verse 27, same episode. Jesus Christ says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But the Pharisees reversed it in order to get control of their people. Mark chapter 3, verse 2. Here's the situation with the man that had the withered hand, but notice what else took place. They watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. See, that was what they were looking for. They were looking for a way to accuse him. Jesus knew that. He saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth, and he saith unto them, and now he's going to ask them the question, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? What did they say? Nothing. They held their peace. When he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. So they went outside and wanted to kill him. They couldn't answer him. That reminds me of when Jesus Christ asked, he said, what authority did you have to throw us out of the temple? That's the second time he did it. And he said, well, let me ask you a question. If you answer that, then I'll tell you by what authority I did these things. The baptism of John, was it of men or was it of heaven? So they began to reason among themselves, and they said, if we say it is of men, the people will stone us because they take Jesus for a prophet. And if we say of heaven, then he'll say, why then weren't you baptized? So they turned to Jesus and said, we can't tell. We don't know. We don't know what to say. You know, that's how wicked and despicable these Pharisees were, and Jesus knew it. Jesus knew it. They hid behind their inability to answer. They were doing the very same thing they were accusing him of. Look in Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He healed her exactly the same way he healed that man by the pool. She didn't ask for the healing. He just saw it, had compassion on her, took care of the problem. Jesus can do that the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can take care of it today just like he did back then. Why don't you talk to him about it? And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. Isn't that amazing? They didn't rejoice that these poor people. She'd been down 18 years, the other guy 38 years. They didn't rejoice that these people had finally been loosed from that and take note of the great miracle. They just jumped on Jesus. That's about the way the world treats him. And said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Well, the woman didn't come for her healing. Jesus took care of it. The Lord then answered him and saith, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Yes, they do. And that's not lawful on the Sabbath. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. Why? Because they knew they'd been caught. They were a bunch of hypocrites. But all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that had been done by him. You know what? I rejoice in the glorious things that were done by him. Don't you? Don't you? Look in John chapter 9, in verse 14. John chapter 9, verse 14. Look at this. It was on the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. This is the blind man, blind from his birth. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Wait a minute, Jesus Christ has already dealt with them about that. They wouldn't answer him. He said, is it lawful? They wouldn't answer. He said, you get your sheep out of the pit, I'll get this child now of God out of this bondage of sin. You lead away your ox and your ass for the watering, I'll take this daughter of Abraham and heal her from the bondage of Satan. Others said, how can this man that is a sinner do such miracles? He wasn't a sinner. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. There was division among them. Well, let me show you what the underlying deal is here. It's all found in John chapter 7. The truth of the matter is, he caught them in the very sin that they were accusing him of. They privately would not keep the Sabbath, and yet publicly they would. Jesus publicly took care of these problems on the Sabbath, and they decided, since they could do this stuff in secret and not be caught, that they would kill him because he wouldn't abide by their method of keeping the Sabbath. Watch it. John chapter 7, verse 19. The Lord's talking to them. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? See, the law says that if he's going to be killed, he has to have a trial. And yet none of you keepeth the law, why go you about to kill me? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil, who goeth about to kill thee? Well, they blasphemed him, they blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and they lied about their motives. That's what the Pharisees were. They were so spiritually dead, they could not recognize the Holy Spirit working in Jesus Christ, and they were so hypocritical, they only could lie to cover their sin. Verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Oh, that's a great way to end this lesson. Let me tell you something. When you get legalistic in your own attitude about the way people ought to do something, you'll judge according to the appearance. But if you want to find out right judgment, then you're going to have to look beyond the appearance and first of all recognize your own hypocrisy.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.